People are generous. You are generous. I want to take you on a historical journey. Let's go back to 1988. Louise and I were owner-occupiers, dual income, no kids. And 10 years later, I was a college student, just like Olivia, who's here with us today, in a rented house with three under nines. In those 10 years, we made 13 house moves, and all the money that we needed was gifted. It came in through grants, generous donations, unemployment benefit, family tax credit. And during that time, the only car we ever had that was new was given to us, which is extraordinary. God provided, as he always does. And that provision is primarily through the church family, you. In the passage from Corinthians we've had read to us, just highlights the generosity of the church. To the persecuted and overstretched and famine-facing Christians in Jerusalem, despite the circumstances that the Corinthians were finding themselves in, persecuted themselves, they were generous and they gave to the church that was in need in Jerusalem by sending a gift. And Paul encourages them and affirms them for what they do. They act with enthusiasm. His expectations are surprised. And at the very heart of the good news of Jesus, there is generosity. He gives life. He gives his life. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. That is the spiritual bank balance that we have in Christ. And as followers of Jesus, we respond generously in giving and blessing others as God has blessed us. And that generosity is not purely financial. It's words of grace, it's loving actions, it's time spent and invested in others. But it's quite clear that Jesus gives generosity an importance. Of the 39 parables he teaches, 11 are on giving. And there are 2,300 verses in the Bible on money, wealth and possessions. I've worked it out. It's about 7.4%. In the passage from Luke, we have a scene at the temple treasury in Jerusalem. There's 13 slightly bizarre trumpet collection vessels, and these were used for various temple duties. It's quite ironic that in Matthew we hear recorded, "When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." And in this scene, Jesus witnesses the widow who gives 2 copper coins. 100 copper coins would be a day's wages for a labourer. So she gives 2% of a day's wages, perhaps £3 in modern money today. But it was all she had. And it reflects a complete reliance on and relationship with God. It's powerfully depicted here that she gives up everything and trusts him for provision. And we know full well that widows of this time faced difficulty to look after themselves. They were often lonely and poor. The wealthy here give much, but they keep so much more. And in fact, in the immediate verse before this, in chapter 20, the wealthy is seen as devouring widows' houses. And then this story is played out for us as Jesus witnesses it. It's easy to appear to be generous when you've got a lot left over. But this widow had no idea of how her future would be provided for. Yet she gives generously. Elon Musk is the wealthiest man, the wealthiest person in the world. He's worth at least £350 billion. Yet he gives less than 1% away of his income. If everybody in the world received his wealth, we'd get about £45 each. Giving is not done to draw attention to ourselves, although in the case of these rich men here, it seems to be. Look at me. It's not about the gross figure we give, but the proportion, the percentage, the amount. The amount that we give relative to the amount that we keep. Interestingly, just this week, there's been a survey out from Stewardship, the Christian giving charity. It was across all denominations and looked at giving from people in the UK to churches and charities. The average UK citizen gives about 2.7% of their post-tax income to charities and good causes, and that works out at about £65 a month. Christians, though, give double that, £124 a month. And that includes a whole range of people, people who call themselves cultural Christians, who certainly attend church less than once a month. And their giving is proportionally quite low, right the way through to committed Christians. This is probably about an eighth of all the Anglicans in the church. These are people who go to church at least once a week and read their Bible accordingly. And they give over 11% of their post-tax income to charities and churches. Now we know for each person income varies, so therefore giving may vary. But what is certainly true is those who have less wealth proportionally give more. And the widow is a perfect example of that. It should be the other way round. When we have higher disposable income, we should be able to be increasingly generous. People who declare themselves as Christians give simply probably £24 a month. But those who are committed give £278 a month, the survey showed. So it depends how we live and how we are generous. But what is certainly true is that giving is reflective of our faith. In 2 Corinthians 8:12, it says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." God isn't after a certain amount. He's after commitment and faith to him. And we're very good at defending our buying patterns and probably our giving patterns. We do that for ourselves, but we're less likely to chat to others about it. The survey suggests that only 1 in 6 people talk about their giving. And perhaps it's something we don't talk to God about either. The widow just gave. It was part of her worship. It was tied to her faith. It's the DNA of the Christian faith, generosity. So what might that mean for us? Well, I think the first thing is to assess what proportion of our income we actually give. To pray about it, to decide whether we need to lower it or increase it according to our circumstances. But certainly to talk to God about it. Whatever that level of percentage is, it might be a good challenge to consider that this year you'll raise it by 1%, and then the next year, and see what happens. There is something about generosity that God invites us to and trusting him on the journey. People are generous. You are generous. And God is abundantly so. And he invites us to respond to his invitation. Next week we'll be giving a letter out concerning giving across the benefice in our three churches, but we'd just like to thank you for your generosity over the last year, for all you give, for the help that is provided for the mission and ministry here. But like the widow, there is so much more that God may have for us, and it is to deepen our relationship and trust him. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, like that widow, may we have the courage to trust you, that you give us all we need and so much more. May we live generous lives to bless others as you have blessed us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.